Well, thank you, Mr. Hansen, and welcome everybody to services. And when I look outdoors and see this day, it looks exactly like I would hope for on the first day of unleavened, or the beginning of the unleavened bread season and the holy day cycle. I'd like to start out by asking you a question. Do you ever read through a certain section of the Bible, and it seems like certain things just jump out at you? You may have read that section many times before, but this time it just seems new and different. And there may be just a particular object or a phrase that you hadn't noticed before. And then once you notice it, it seems to appear throughout the Bible. Your eyes are kind of attuned to that, and you pick up on it. Now, in my case, it was the phrase, "Here I am." Once I saw that, I noticed it used in various verses in both the Old and New Testament, and used as a response to being called by another person or by God himself. And then when you become aware of it, you notice how frequently it's used. So in this message, we'll look at some of the occurrences of this phrase, "Here I am," and how it's used and what it can mean to us in responding to God. Excuse me. Let's start in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 12. I'll read just a few scriptures or a few verses from this passage. And it starts out Genesis 22, verse 1. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Abraham said, Here I am.' And then he went on to say, God said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Now, I have to imagine that many things ran through Abraham's mind at this time, but nevertheless, he trusted in God. And it just says in verse 3, "So he rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose, went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" Abraham, knowing that God had commanded him to sacrifice his son, we don't know what all went through his mind, but he went ahead. Verse 6, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. So they were both prepared to follow God. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar." Now this is where it gets very troubling, I'm sure, for Isaac. He began to see what God had in mind, what Abraham had in mind. Nevertheless, he allowed this to happen, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." That same phrase again, "Here I am." In verse 12, "And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Abraham and Isaac were both put through a very strenuous test there, Another example, in Genesis 37:13, just read verses 12 and 13. The heading in this chapter was Joseph is sold by his brothers. It says in Genesis 37:12, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel, or Jacob, said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. That same phrase. He's saying it in obedience to whatever God was going to call of him. In Genesis 46, verses 1 through 4, Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Jacob said, here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. So in all these cases, you can look it up, and you find it's the same Hebrew words that are used. So it's the same meaning in this phrase, here I am. And if we look at the context of these examples, we can pick up on at least four aspects that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob displayed. First of all, was acknowledgement. They issued a response indicating that they heard, were listening, and heard that God was calling or someone was calling. They all showed respect. They showed humility. And they all showed a trusting willingness to listen and obey. Now, does God speak to us today in that manner? Well, as Christians, we believe that God both listens to us and speaks to us. God hears our prayers and he answers them. Sometimes he answers through what we might read in the Bible or Bible literature and helps. And sometimes he might answer through messages that we hear. Sometimes he answers through advice we're given by the ministry or others that can help us in our particular situation. And sometimes God answers us through what we call conscience, where we just recognize that we should or should not act in a certain way. Well, how should we respond when God calls? I think we all know or can guess at the answer, but let's see some possibilities that are offered by biblical examples. We saw how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all reacted with obedience. But other examples show some reluctance, and here are some of those examples. First response, we can try to ignore it. We hear God calling, we can just pretend that we didn't hear. In other words, this is the I'm not here answer when God calls. And we saw this in the example of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They thought if they hid, maybe God wouldn't know that they heard what he said. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. That's one response. When God's calling, you can hide, pretend you don't hear it, kind of ignore it. A second option, a response, is to refuse. We can look at Jonah. In this response, I simplified to, here I am, but I'm not going to do what you're asking me to. We look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we know that God wasn't through with Jonah, and he was going to still work with him. And eventually Jonah did go back to Nineveh and do what God had asked him to do. And he could have saved himself a lot of time and trouble by responding to the first call rather than the second. So that was the second response option, just refusal. The third response option, we can make excuses. And Moses was great for this. I simplified this to, here I am, and here's why I can't do what you're asking me to do. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 4, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountains of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." That doesn't mean that Moses was going to do right then what God was asking him to. He had at least five excuses, maybe more that weren't recorded, but reasons why he wasn't going to do what God was asking him. Exodus 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" That was his first option, "Who am I?" Second excuse was in Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" So he's saying he didn't know how to refer to God to them. What should I say? The third excuse, Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So that was another excuse he had. Another one that he said, "I'm not eloquent." And this is in Exodus 4, 10 through 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And you can kind of imagine him exaggerating that response to God. But the Lord wasn't going to hear any of his excuses. In verse 11 of Exodus 4, so the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Moses wasn't quite done yet. Exodus 4:13, he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Another refusal, "Just send somebody else, please." Now God answered all of these objections that Moses had, but the real issue was that Moses just refused to trust and obey. God really had to get after him to do it. And then the next response option, the one that we should have, is, "Here I am, send me." In Isaiah 6, verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" In Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 10, continuing. And he said, God said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." And then in verses 11 through 12, "Then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And God answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men from far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land.'" Now, the attitude that we want is that shown by Isaiah, and he had the same attitude as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did. And that's a trusting willingness to serve and obey God, no matter how God asks us or what he's asking us to do. I think we can agree that we all want God to be involved in our lives. We want to know that we can go to him, that he will provide an answer, provide a response to our questions or our needs. And when he speaks to us, he may be expecting some action on our part. Now, in this short message, I've had to oversimplify the situations, but generally, we can choose one of four actions. We can try to hide, like Adam and Eve did, saying, "I'm not here." We can try to refuse, like Jonah did. "Here I am, but I won't do it." We can try to make excuses, to try to get out of it, like Moses. "Here I am, and here's why I can't do what you're asking me." Or the preferred response is to obey, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Isaiah did. "Here I am, send me." So as we begin the Passover and Holy Day season, let's be aware of our commitment to God. Be aware of how he's working in our lives and what he expects from us. We likely won't face the same types of situations in our lives. Some of the people I mentioned as these examples. And sometimes we have multiple options that are equally valid in God's eyes. But when we face a situation that may involve either following God's law or disobeying it, the response and the attitude God is looking for in us is always the response of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Isaiah, and God's other faithful servants. "Here I am, send me."